What is great to be among you yet again in this pulpit. I was here in May, and great to be back. Our prayers are certainly for Jim and Sally as they travel, and Aaron, if you need to take a nap now, this would be the time to just kind of close it down. So begins the transition for all that is next for the Wyndham Church. I understand that Jim had a glorious send-off in the last couple of weeks, and that actually the moving van is coming tomorrow, and that he will be driving out toward Colorado, where the moving van will take his stuff, which, oddly enough, is where the moving van picked up my stuff last year at almost this same time as I landed in New England at this same period. For some, Jim's leaving might be a relatively small concern. There will be a next pastor and all will be well. For others, we kind of have a hard time imagining how this church will go on without Jim and Sally in the midst. For some of you, that's the only pastor you've known here. For some of us, there's a fear that there's going to be this strange interim period even before we get the next pastor. And thus, how is all of this going to go? How is transition going to happen? So I wanted to read to you two passages today, one from Mark and one from Joshua. The one in Mark has to do with fear, and the one in Joshua is going to have to do with transition. So there's a note in the Bible that said, "Did you remember your glasses?" I guess this is a note from Sally to Jim, but I'll put that down. Got mine, thank you. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drowned?" He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and ask each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." And so it could be today, the question of Jesus to us is, "Why are you afraid?" And then in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, let's begin at the beginning where a transition is going on. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, who was Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea, the Mediterranean on the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Lord, guide us to understand your word, that having understood it, we might learn how to live in your strength and in your courage. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, if we get honest, most of us have fears in this life. They're usually different person to person. Your fear is not the person's fear over here, but most of us have fears. For some, it's when the wind is howling at night and you hear strange noises in your house and you wake up and you think, what is that? And it was really just the wind. But you get all nervous about it. For some, it is things that make your skin crawl, like Indiana Jones falling into a pit of snakes, or a bunch of spiders crawling across you, or you just think they're crawling across you because you're in a basement sleeping on the floor and you just know there's a spider there. Some of you don't like growling, snarling dogs when you're just taking a walk and one rushes up. Some of you don't like the heebie-jeebies that you get from enormous roller coasters, because now you know in the news that if you don't buckle in right, you can fall out of the thing, as they saw in Texas not long ago. Some of you have a fear of heights. How many of you would have wanted to be with that Walinda guy over the Grand Canyon? Not me. I got heebie-jeebies just watching it on the news. Dave Barry wrote, all of us are born with a set of instinctive fears of falling, of the dark, of lobsters, of falling on lobsters in the dark. We fear speaking before the Rotary Club, and we fear these words on a box, some assembly required. But some fears happen when we see that difficult things can happen in life. So we acquire a fear of failure, a fear of aging, a fear of our body beginning to waste away, a fear maybe of death. Some of our fears are more global, of terrorism, of climate change, of a changing culture that we can't seem to stop. Some fear graduation, moving from a known place to an unknown place. I've stood at the front of many an aisle in a church with just me and the groom, and the groom was shaking like a leaf because he was afraid of leaving what he was leaving and moving into what was next. We get our fears. And a fear that can come over a church in a time of transition is what's going to happen to us. How is it going to be now? Can we really trust God now when there's a change? Now, the text today started with a situation a bit more severe than what you're facing that has some similarities. It's the only book in the Bible that starts after the death of Moses, after anybody's death. Now, Jim and Sally are very much alive, thank you. So you're not starting quite there, but you're starting similarly with the people of God who have been led by a man of God for a long time. In their case, 40 years. In your case, 20, what, six? Six. Yeah. That's a long time. That's a long time to shift from one leader to another. Most of the people of Israel couldn't, like many of you, remember a day when Moses had not been in charge. Moses had led them through the Red Sea. Moses had led them into this moment where manna and quail fell from the sky. Moses had led them to Mount Sinai. And now it's all changing. A new leader. Joshua. New leaders. How do you imagine working with new leaders? Imagine when Bill Belichick leaves the Patriots. And he didn't even part the Red Sea or bring manna and quail. But it's going to be an awkward moment. Some of you have watched leaders retire. And you've wondered who's going to replace them. The fear of the unknown can grip a church and cause us to put on the pause button and just wait. I would guess that this church had its questions and its fears before Jim arrived years ago. Certainly, I entered a church in 2005 where the pastor had been at First Presbyterian Church of Colorado Springs for 34 years. In fact, that pastor, John Stevens, had been there so long that he was actually the pastor that had ordained Jim Stewart years before that, because Jim grew up in that same church. But when I arrived, after 34 years of a previous pastor, they said, I don't think pastors are supposed to have reddish, now grayish beards. I don't think that's part of it. So they kind of initially had to go, I don't know about this guy. But the thing we learn from Joshua is that after someone leaves, the key thing is that God is still present. God was there. And he said to them in verse 5, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. Whoever the next leader is, those people had to know that God was never going to leave them nor forsake them. Do you, the church at Wyndham, know that? Way down deep in your soul. And then the second thing you notice in this is this great word, as I was with Moses, so I'm going to be with you. People change, but God doesn't change. God reaffirms that he's going to be with Joshua just as he had been with Moses. This great confirmation of God's greatness. We have that same encouragement in our lives. Whatever changes in your life, when a spouse dies, when a child leaves, when you move to another place, God is saying again, as I was there, now I'll be with you here. It's constant. It's sure. Do you trust that God is with you? Christians have a hard time trusting. Even disciples in a boat where Jesus is present in the boat are a little unsure about what Jesus is doing. Some of you read the book. More of you have probably seen the movie. It was called The Inn in the Sixth Happiness. It was a movie about a Chinese missionary, Gladys Aylward. And in the movie, that was Ingrid Bergman. And it's a time in Chinese history when the Japanese have just invaded around World War II. The area where she was running an orphanage, and the Japanese were overrunning the whole area, and all of the foreigners had already left. She was still there, but she was not going to leave till she knew those 100 orphans under her care were safe. And so she began to lead them out of that area into another area of China, which was not under Japanese occupation, and it was going to be an enormous journey over a mountain range, very, very difficult to do. And the book chronicles that Gladys was gripped with despair and doubt nearly every step of the way. And at one point in particular, she grappled with her fear as she had never grappled even before. And she simply could not see a way through with armies behind her, mountains in front of her, difficulty, 100 orphans. How do I do this? And it was then that a little 13-year-old girl, one of the orphans in her charge, reminded Gladys of one of her favorite Bible stories of Moses and the Israelites facing and then crossing the Red Sea, to which Gladys cried out in desperation, "Yes, but I'm no Moses." And the young girl said, "Of course you aren't, but God is still God. God is still God. God is still God." Some of you know in this part of the world, Frederick Buechner. He's been a part of this presbytery for a number of years. He's a Presbyterian pastor, but more, he's an author and a novelist. Buechner suffered a nightmarish tragedy in his life. Early one morning when he was 8 years old, he and his brother heard the self-inflicted gunshot that killed his beloved father. His father killed himself at home. And Buechner knew that things would never be quite the same. And he writes, "Always the unanswerables. The unanswerables will be there." So how do we face the unanswerables? And Buechner said this, "God does not always give us answers, but he always gives us himself." God is going to be here. And so, the third thing to remember in this text is the line that's repeated 3 times, and if you read the rest of the chapter, it's repeated yet again. Be strong and courageous. In light of the shooting, the marathon, I think the t-shirt that says, "Be strong," is in effect coming from this, Boston Strong. It really originally comes out of this place. Be strong and courageous. When repetition occurs in the Bible, you've got to stop and go, "Lord, why are you repeating this?" Because in the small 8 verses I read you, that was repeated 3 times. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous. That's a word. In fact, why don't you turn and say it to your neighbor? Because a couple of them are starting to fade, who were on the long ride. Would you just tap somebody on the shoulder and say, "Be strong and courageous"?
Be strong and courageous.
Okay, that got everybody back awake. Thank you. I was not sure how to wake them up. Now, for some reason, this is apparently what Joshua needs to know at this moment. He's feeling overwhelmed. He could have used that kind of courage that allowed the waters to just calm down that Jesus had, but Joshua didn't know where to find that. And so it was that God was speaking right to him. Annie Lamont, the writer, says this, "Courage is fear that has said its prayers." I'll repeat that. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. You see, she knew, Joshua became with the ability to know that as long as we're trusting in God, then for this church and for you, there's nothing that we finally have to fear. Hugh Latimer was a great English reformer. If you go to Oxford, you can see the spot where he was burned at the stake. Latimer was talking to his good friend Nicholas Ridley, who was burned with him, and he said, "Please pray for me. Pray for me. At times I am so afraid that I could creep into a mouse hole." And he felt afraid as the proverbial mouse. Jesus answered that prayer and gave him courage and strength. And as he walked to be burned at the stake in Oxford, he said to Nicholas Ridley, "Play the man, Master Ridley. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out." And sure enough, they did. And so God's then fourth word, And the final word today to these dear folks is, so meditate on God's word day and night that you might remember. That means that he's urging us to continue to be a people of the word, not so that we can just find an answer to a problem, but so that we can remember that in every amazing spot where the people of God had been, God was there. Don't let this word depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night. I would say in this transition year, probably what this church needs as much as anything is to keep reading scripture together and to be reminded how amazingly God is going to be with you every step of this way. You can throw up your hands in despair and say, oh no. Or you can be strong and courageous. When Martin Luther was ready to leave for Augsburg, a place where he was warned not to go because he might die as he was leading that Reformation, they said to him, at Augsburg are the powers of hell. Beware. To which Luther replied, at Augsburg, Jesus reigns. He was strong and courageous. Communion is a place, friends, where we are met with whatever fears we have by the strength and the courage of Jesus. It was as he gave himself for us that we see that enormity of his strength and his courage on your behalf. So come with your fears, come with your doubts, come with your questions. How is this going to work? But at this table, Calvin says, we find medicine for our souls. And so at this time of transition at Wyndham, come together and receive what God has for you even this day as we come together to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. Lord, you were here before we got here this morning waiting for us to come into worship. And you'll be here every week and every day of this transition period. And you'll be here when the next one comes to lead this church. And so, Lord, let us somehow see what you already see. That as you were with Moses, you would be with Joshua. And as you were with Jim, you will be with yet another. And as we see it, let's pause as a church to give you praise and glory. For you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.